I just want to say a little bit at first, because this is, as I said, it's called the Dhammapalaṅgata, verses that protect the truth. And it's actually some verses, the first three are taken from the Dhammapada, which is that very basic, probably first written down text from the Buddha. So it's just three little verses that are taken from that. They have, I suppose, really simple verses. They can be memorised very easily, both in English and in Pali. And I just want to talk really about the value of learning things by heart, learning the Dharma by heart. Something that I sometimes think is that, you know, anything can happen to us in life. I sometimes imagine, you know, being lost in a desert or thrown into a dungeon or something like that. Having kind of portable Dharma in your mind is a really good thing to have. I mean, those are really kind of extreme situations where it probably won't happen to us, but there are things that do happen to us, like we get ill and we get old as well, and that's quite likely to happen to us. And you know, a friend of mine recently, she died a few months ago, but you know, she was in a position where she couldn't hear, so she couldn't listen to the radio or to talks or anything like that. She couldn't see, so she couldn't read. This was her life, so you know, that can happen, that could happen to us. So it's, I really like the thought of just thinking ahead, planning ahead a bit, and having some Dharma that's really kind of really well assimilated, things that I can kind of draw on that I don't need. I wouldn't need to go and read in a book or having a, you know, listen to. It's interesting that phrase, learning by heart, actually. It's not learning by mind, is it? It's learning by heart. It means it's something that we are, in a way, emotionally connected with. And I think, in a way, you can only really remember things or learn things if you do have some kind of emotional connection. That's what actually, you know, that's why stories work so well in teaching the Dharma, because when you've heard a story, you connect with it. You connect with another person's experience, and you sort of know that's you've made your heart connected with it. And I find nowadays there's something that happens. Well, probably this happens to you as well. I can hear a few words of Dharma, maybe a, you know, a verse or something, and I just feel this big kind of welling up of almost tears of inspiration sometimes. And I realise it's not just the words themselves, it's all of the associations, it's all of what's gone before, all of the occasions maybe when I've heard those words in a puja or in a reading or on a retreat, all of the people that I've kind of, you know, heard them with. I think there was this phrase that came to my mind recently when I was on a retreat, which was faithful disciples here assembled, ask yourselves, has the deepest faith arisen within my heart? And when those words came to my mind, and I just felt a real kind of sense, and I thought, where does that come from? I couldn't remember where it came from. So when I got back from retreat, I googled it. And I found it was a song of Milarepa. And I realised it was one of the songs of Milarepa that was quite frequently a reading when I was a new mitra. And obviously that had kind of gone in. And so when I kind of, those words came to my mind, it was as if they carried that experience with them. You know, it's not just the words, it's the sort of, I suppose, life experiences, shared experiences, collective experiences that kind of come with them. And I think it is one reason why we do rituals together, we do pujas together, because that means that those words of the puja are, they're more than just our words, they're a kind of collective experience which carries a lot of, I suppose, you know, heart meaning for that reason. So, I think for me, for example, the account of the Buddha's first teaching of the Dharma is very much like that. Whenever I hear the words of, he taught the Dharma, and then there was this moment when Kondanya got it, and Kondanya knows, the Buddha sort of shouts, Kondanya knows. That's one of those moments for me. It's a sort of, spine tingling. And even more so now that I've been on pilgrimage and I've been at the place where that happened. So that kind of story has gained that significance for me, because it's got that, I know where that happened. I know what the bird song was like, and the, what the smells were like, and what the dusty earth was like. Yeah. Anyway, so learning by heart, that's what I'm banging on around about here. And I think, the Heart Sutra, it's something that we often, in the Sevenfold Puja, we do the Sevenfold Puja usually in call and response, but then we do the Heart Sutra and it's just not in call and response. So you kind of have to learn it, really. You can get the words, in front of you, but over a period of time you learn it. And I think it's interesting, it's called the Heart Sutra, and we learn it by heart. It becomes more and more and more familiar. It's really kind of mysterious words in many ways, but they become imbued with more, I suppose, every time we say it, they kind of go in a bit more deeply and a bit more deeply and become more kind of part of the script, I suppose, of our lives. Yes, so the Dhammapanagata is another of these very basic texts. And I just want to sort of say a few words about it, about the actual teaching within it. It's quite nice to have the Pali alongside, because then you realise what the words are actually getting at. So it begins with not to do evil, to cultivate the good. And not to do evil, not to behave unskillfully, not to harm other beings. I mean, that's the first precept, isn't it? The non-harming of other living beings. So it starts with first precept. And cultivating the good. This is kusala. This word which, in a way, it's translated as good, but we also know that it's skillful. Skillful mental states, kusala mental states, are those which actually, as we know, are supportive to our practice, which lead us in the direction of more expansive mental states and eventually insight. But then it says sacitta pariyodhapanam, to purify the mind. And this is translated as mind, but it's interesting. The word is citta, which is often translated as heart. So heart, mind. And I think it's quite interesting and significant that within Buddhism there's a word which can be mind or heart, as if there's not a distinction being made here between our mind and our heart. I mean, it's very much something that we can experience as a split, I suppose, a reason and emotion. Our mind tells us, our reason tells us, go this way, our heart doesn't want to go that way, but this word citta, it could be translated either way, and it also has the connotation of will or volition or desire even, or motivation. So it's not simply to purify the mind, it's purifying motivation, purifying will. Or perhaps another way of seeing that is getting our will going in the direction of our ideals. There's this other word, dharmachanda, which is desire for the good or desire for the Dharma. It's in a way one of those kind of basic things that we're doing, is finding a way of getting our will moving in the direction of ideals. So this is actually the verse which is quoted in a really well-known story, which maybe many of you know, where Bodhidharma, sort of Buddhist teacher, travels to China and meets the emperor. And the emperor says, so what's the fundamental principle of Buddhism? And because the emperor likes to engage in debate with visiting teachers, he likes to sort of have philosophical debates and so forth. And Bodhidharma says, cease to do evil, learn to do good, purify the heart. And the emperor says, is that all? And even a child of 3 can understand that. And Bodhidharma replied, yes, your majesty, but even an old man of 80 cannot put it into practice. So in a way, the Dharma, this isn't hard to understand. The Dharma is not hard to understand, especially in terms of its practical application, how we what to do. But the main thing is how to do it, how to keep going. I quite like that once Sangharakshita said that, in a way, in reality, a Dharma life, a life dedicated to the Dharma, is easier than one dedicated to worldly pursuits, because worldly pursuits may succeed or fail. Your business may succeed or fail. You may or may not pass that examination. You may, your career may founder, and so forth. But he says that by continuing to put the effort in the spiritual life, success is absolutely guaranteed. By continuing to put the effort in, of course. You can't help but grow and develop if you keep going. You can't help but. Okay. So, the second verse is, in a way, kind of leads on from the first. Lead a righteous life, not one that is corrupt. Dhammachari, Sukhang Seti. The righteous live happily, both in this world and the next. So the word is Dhamma. So lead a life dedicated to the Dhamma. Sometimes translations can be somewhat different, you know, have a particular slant. That word, Dhammachari, is it's what order members are called, actually. They're people who are faring in the Dharma, Dhammachari or Dhammacharini. That's where the word comes from. Those who are trying to live a life dedicated to the Dharma. And it says that the leading a life dedicated to the Dharma is a happy life. Live happily in this world and the next, or now and in the future. So it brings in this concept of happiness, and also, I suppose, the concept of karma, the concept that our actions of today create our life of the future. And this is, yeah, so happiness. Pursuit of happiness. So often we just go around about that in the wrong direction, don't we? It seems that by living an ethical life, our minds become clearer and we become happier. It's not so much about pleasure seeking, that a Dharma life is a happy life. And I mean, that can seem a bit strange sometimes, because it's not easy. You know, often we're struggling with aspects of ourselves and others. So in a way, I see this as a kind of happiness that's based more on a kind of sense of integrity, in the sense of that you're living a life which is in line with your values, in line with what you really most value. And that brings its own kind of satisfaction, which is maybe different from a kind of more bubbly, fizzy pleasure. So then the third verse: one is not versed in Dharma who merely speaks much. One who hears but a little of the teaching, but sees the truth and observes it well, indeed, is truly called one versed in Dharma. So, in a way, it's almost like the Dhammapala and Gata itself is a kind of demonstration of this. It's a very simple kind of text. It's we only need a little bit of the Dharma if we actually put it into practice. We only need the teaching that really speaks to us. That kind of core teaching that really speaks to you directly, that really addresses your life's dilemmas. That's the one that's important. I'd like to just stop now and just have a short period of reflection, because what I'd like us to do is just reflect a bit on what that teaching is for me. You know, what is it about the Dharma that has spoken to me, that's addressed some dilemma in my life? It might be something that changes from, you know, it doesn't mean to say it's the one that's always there. Maybe it's just for now. And perhaps if you're kind of fairly new to the Dharma, you could be reflecting on what is your, I suppose, highest value. What is it that means the most to you in life? What's the quality that you want to bring into being? Just a few lines of Dharma, it may be a quality, it may be a whole sutra, like the Heart Sutra, all the precepts. Reflecting on what this means to you, why this is important to you. Okay. Now, if you're willing, you could find a partner and tell them the teaching, tell them why it's important to you. Or a threesome, or whatever. Just to make sure both of you have a chance to speak, or all three of you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can just draw that to a close individually. Did you feel you were able to explain? I just, you know, did you kind of... Yeah. I think it's one of those things that one of the ways in which we kind of really get to understand ourselves and, you know, the Dharma is by trying to explain... Well, understand the Dharma is by explaining it to other people. It's, you know, to try and... put things into words so that other people can get it too. Interesting, important. So we're going to approach this in a different way now, by singing, okay, using our voices. And I think it's quite good to just... Oh, let's stand up. open our lungs a bit before we actually begin. Take a few deeper breaths. And to start vocalizing, making a sound, chant a word and you follow with that word, then the next word and you follow with that word. We'll just do the first verse that way. Saba papa sa.
Saba papa sa.
Akaranam.
Akaranam.
Kusalasa.
Kusalasa.
Upasampada.
Upasampada.
Sachita.
Sachita.
Pariyodapanam.
Pariyodapanam.
Etam.
Etam.
Uthana.
Uthana.
So that's the basic tune, which all the next three verses will follow up. But we'll just do it now, one line at a time, okay? Saba papa sa akaranam.
Saba papa sa akaranam.
Kusala sa upasampada.
Kusalasa upasampada.
Sachita pariyodapanam.
Sachita pariyodapanam.
Etam buddhanam sasanam.
Etam buddhanam sasanam.
Try that again.
Etam Buddhanam Sasanam.
Etam Buddhanam Sasanam.
Let's do that again, just like that, okay? Sabba Papa Sakaranam.
Sabba Papa Sakaranam.
Kusalasa Upasampada.
Kusalasa Upasampada.
Sachita Pariyodapana.
Sachita Pariyodapana.
Etam Buddhanam Sasanam.
Etam Buddhanam Sasanam.
Maybe we'll try the whole verse now. Okay, together. Right. Do you want to go a little bit higher? Is it too low for you? No? It's all right.
Samapapasakaranam Kusalasaupasampada Sachita Pariyodapana.
Again.
Sabba Papa Sakaranam Kusalasa Upasampada Sachita Pariyodapana Etam Buddhanam Sasanam.
So let's go on to the next verse. We'll just do it line by line, okay? Dhammam chare sucharitam.
Dhammam chare sucharitam.
Natam ducharitam chare.
Natam ducharitam chare.
Dhammachari sukham seti.
Dhammachari sukham seti.
Asmim loke paramhicha.
Asmim loke paramhicha.
So, same again. Dhammam chare sucharitam.
Dhammam chare sucharitam.
Natam ducharitam chare.
Natam ducharitam chare.
Dhammachari sukham seti.
Dhammachari sukham seti.
Asmim loke paramhicha.
Asmim loke paramhicha.
Whole verse. Dhammam chare sucharitam.
Natam ducharitam chare. Dhammachari sukham seti. Asmim loke paramhicha.
Let's do it from the beginning. Okay.
Sarvapapasa akaranam kusalasa upasampada Sachita Pariyodapana Etam Buddhanasasanam Dhammam chare sucharitam Natam ducharitam chare Dhammachari sukham seti.
Okay, we'll go for the next verse now.
I'm gonna go up a bit, because what we tend to do is we tend to gradually float downwards. So let's go up a bit. Okay. So this verse is the same tune, but it's got two lines tacked on the end which are different. So just listen. Na tavata tamataro.
Na tavata tamataro.
I'll do that again. Na tavata tamataro.
Na tavata tamataro.
Yavata bahupasati.
Yamata Bhupasati
Yocha Pang Pisutvana
Yocha Pang Pisutvana
Tamang Kayena Pasati
Tamang Kayena Pasati
Save Damadaro
Save Damataro
Hotiyo
Hotiyo
Dhammang Napamajati
Dhammang Napamajati.
We'll do the whole verse. Natavata Kamataro Yavata Pisutvana Dhammang Kayena Pasati Save Dhammataro Hotiyo Dhammang Dhammajati. Okay. Great, you got that. So let's just do those first three verses now. Because then we move on to something different. Sabhapasa Agamanam Kusalasa Upasampada Sachita Karyodapanam Mitam Buddhanam Sasanam Dhammam Chare sucharitam natam ducharitam chare dhamma chari sukham seti asmi loke paramicha natavata earlier on when we were sort of doing those kind of, when we were just going ah, let's try and chant it again and keep that a really kind of open, you know, we sort of, when you concentrate and you're trying to get it right, kind of, your voice can get a little bit kind of you know, tight. So let's just try and chant it again with a really kind of open lungs and vocal cords. And don't worry too much about whether you get it slightly wrong or whatever. Just sort of give it some worry. Yeah. Sabhapasa Adhavanam Kusalasa Upasampada Sachita Pariyodahana Nesam Dhammang The next three verses, which are very similar. No other refuge than the Buddha, than the Dharma, than the Sangha. So, I'll chant it line by line and you follow. Nati me saranaganyam.
Nati me saranaganyam.
Buddho me saranam param.
Buddho me saranam param.
Etena saccha vacena.
Etena saccha vacena.
Hotu me jaya mangalam.
Hotu me jaya mangalam.
Do that from the start together, and we'll just do those three verses because they're similar. Nati me saranaganyam, buddho me saranam param, etena saccha vacena, hotu me jaya mangalam. Nati me saranaganyam, dhammo me saranam param, etena saccha vacena, hotu me jaya mangalam. Nati me saranaganyam, sangho me saranam param, Chena, hotu me jaya mangalam.
There we go.
Namo Buddhaya.
Namo Buddhaya.
Namo Dhammaya.
Namo Dhammaya.
Namo Sanghaya.
Namo Sanghaya.
This is where we find we've gone too low. Sadhu. Okay. Try sadhu.
Sadhu.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll start it from the start. We'll go up higher and try and stay at that level. And when we get to the sadhus, hopefully we'll be able to chant them. Right. But we're just going to do the whole thing now. Sabba pavasa haranam kusalasa upasampada sachita pariyoda pava etam buddhana sasana dhamma chare. Into the meaning, okay? So what I'd like us to do is you just sit and listen, and I'm just going to read the meaning of the words, and then we're going to chant it one more time, but with that perhaps more awareness of the actual words that we're chanting. Okay. Not to do evil. To cultivate the good, to purify the mind. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. Lead a righteous life, not one that is corrupt. The righteous live happily, both in this world and the next. One is not versed in Dharma who merely speaks much. One who hears but a little of the teaching, but sees the truth, and observes it well, indeed is truly called one versed in Dharma. No other refuge than the Buddha. Refuge supreme is there for me. Or by the virtue of this truth, may grace abound and victory. No other refuge than the truth. Refuge supreme is there for me. Or by the virtue of this truth, may grace abound and victory. No refuge but the fellowship. Refuge supreme is there for me. Or by the virtue of this truth, may grace abound and victory. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. If you want to stand up, do.
Sabba Parvasa Akaranam Kusala Savupasampada Sachita Charitam 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 chalice to come, said he, as mean the cape Aramicha.
Thank you, Gareth Malone. You don't know him?
No.
He brought music.
Oh, he does choirs.
He does choirs.
All right.
Choir
mass.
Okay,
good.
It's like the Free British Audio as well.
Is it okay? That's great. It's Free British Audio. So if you want to keep,
I'm just guessing.
It probably is. So if you want to remember it, yeah. It is.
Well, no, it will be.
It will be. Have you been recording? Oh, heck.
The end.
You're standing there.
I didn't mean that.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.